Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. I see a lot of visitors out there, and we certainly want to extend a very special welcome to you. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about Main Street, if you're looking for a church home, please give us your address and phone number so that we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. If you would pass the attendance pads down the pew, and visitors and members alike, please register your attendance. I do have someone guarding the door this morning so that I won't be interrupted in my announcements like I was last week. I want to remind the Main Streeters that your program, which will be a guided tour of the Bob Jones University Art Museum and Gallery, scheduled for Tuesday, April 25th, you need to make reservations, and you need to go ahead and get your money into the office by April the 10th, because Bob Jones is not going to hold those tickets unless the money is sent to them. So if you do plan on making that trip, please get your money into the office by April 10th. Reminder also that the youth are selling bumper stickers or window stickers, which have the United Methodist cross and flame. It says Main Street United Methodist Church, and those are available in the office for $5 apiece. Also this afternoon, there will be a Easter egg hunt. All are invited to that. It will be at 2 o'clock at Wesley Commons, so all come out and enjoy the fun at that. Kathy asked me to announce that there are ferns, hanging basket ferns, which are available. They're on the stage in the fellowship hall. Those are for sale, $15 apiece, with all of the money received from those going to the building fund. And also a reminder that on April the 23rd, there will be a lunch and silent auction that's being sponsored by the Missions Committee. The money from that will go toward the mission trip to Brazil, which is planned for later this summer. Those tickets are not yet available, but they will be available beginning Tuesday in the church office. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? We call what we do here a worship service. It is right that we serve you with praise and prayer and unity of spirit. We call what we do here praise. It is right that we praise the one who gives life to our bodies and new life to our souls. We claim citizenship in your kingdom through your grace and by our faith. Give us faithfulness as we serve you here with worship and in the world as witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please join me in the Lenten Prayer of Confession as printed in your bulletin? Let us pray. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Creator God, we know that life and new life come from You. We hide from Your light. We shrink from new life. We hear and do not hear. Truly, truly, unless one is born anew, one cannot see the kingdom of God. We must begin all over again, Lord. Teach us again how to see, but this time through Your eyes. Teach us again to walk, this time in Your ways. Teach us again to love, this time through Your heart. O One, who is beyond time and yet with us in each moment, help us to be born again in Your image. Give us light and love and compassion to share with all who seek to see You in the world. In Jesus' name, Amen.
As we come to our prayer time, I call to your attention our prayer concerns printed on the back page of your bulletin. Please note an addition of your former pastor, Larry Jenkins, who will be having surgery soon. I thank you for your prayers, and my mother thanks you for your prayers for her as she is treated for leukemia, and the prognosis is good. For Grace Agnew, who remains in the hospital, Pat Connell, recovering at home, Newell Whitener, recovering at home, Ray Ballantyne, Jason's father, undergoing treatment, Carol Bateman, undergoing treatment, Joyce Bartless, again undergoing treatment, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Beth Gray, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith-Fallaw, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. Please keep these concerns in your mind as we go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, quiet our hearts, minds, and souls, and hush the noise of the world, and hush our fears, and the voice which opposes love and light. Make us still and quiet for just a moment, so that we might hear your still small voice, your Spirit within. We seek your face. We seek your heart. We seek to comprehend your love in the cross of Christ. How could we nail him there? How could we reject his grace and healing? How can we choose self and sin over and over, knowing the pain and isolation we cause each other and ourselves? Lord, we have chosen you. Help us choose again in word and deed to follow you. You have chosen us in your great love. Send your Spirit and create in us new hearts, and help us feel again, care again, and reach up to you again with all the trust as an infant reaches up to his mother. Embrace us this day and convict us of needed change this day. Renew us this day to see you as you see us, to love as you love, to live as children of your coming kingdom. Lord, for this world we pray and what we have made of it. For the leaders of the nations of this world, we pray the influence of your Spirit, and for our private prayer concerns, for ourselves and for others, for confession and guidance, we do lift up the private prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the children forward for the children's message this morning with Mary Alexander.
Keaton has our offering plate today, so if you have any offering, here's Keaton with the offering plate. And Miss Mary is going to have our children's time today. Y'all may want to come sit on the floor so she can sit up there and you can see her. I think that's better. Griffin, why don't y'all come sit down here so you can see Mary?
Good morning, everybody. I have some questions to ask you this morning. How much do you like broccoli? A
little bit?
Lot? Okay. How much do you like wearing dresses? You don't like to wear dresses? Not even this much? Taylor, you don't like to wear dresses?
Men
don't wear dresses. Okay, see, how about you? How much do you like to wear dresses? A lot. Okay. All right. How much do you like crawling bugs? I don't see any girls' hands. I see lots of boys' hands. Oh, that's Sheely Dominic. You like bugs a little bit. But the boys like them a lot. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. How much do you like pizza? Oh, everybody likes pizza. A lot. Okay. Griffin really likes pizza. All right. Okay. How much do you like your grandmama and your granddaddy? Do you love them? How much do you love them? This much? Oh, how about your mom and dad? How much do you love them? Oh, wow. Now, let me ask you the most important question of all. How much do you think God loves us? That's right. This much. That's right. All the way around the world. That's a good answer, Celia. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, I know that I am your special child and that you love me. Thank you for your abundant love. Amen. Okay, let's go put the money up.
I need to put my ushers on notice. We are going to save the passing of the peace for the communion time. And so we will go straight into our offertory right now. We'll continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for resources enough for our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now the gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Before my sermon and before I pray, I want to remind you that a very important and exciting event is happening today at 4 o'clock right where you sit, and I hope you return to sit in your same pew at 4 o'clock for a concert to honor the work and the memory of William Bobo, our former organist and at times choir director over so many years. William will be honored today by the Columbia College Choir. They'll be bringing their best and their most talented and their choir to give us a concert today at 4 o'clock with a reception following to honor William Bobo. Please be here today. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, my favorite TV show, some of you know it and some of you don't, is a detective series called Monk. Just a shorthand. Some of y'all watch Monk? Okay, a few people understand what it's about. He's an obsessive compulsive detective. And if you've seen my car and you've seen my desk, you'll think that I have no obsessive compulsive tendencies, but I do. It just has nothing to do with neatness. I'm reminded of him a while back when I was speaking at a retreat, and I knelt before a makeshift altar and a little handmade wooden cross. Now, I was there to pray before I spoke, just to pray before I spoke. But I looked up, and I could not pray until I straightened the cross beam just a little on that handmade cross. It was just a little off. It bothered me. Now, many things about the cross bother us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Why the cross? They used to show a film years ago at youth events in this conference about a little boy. He was laughing and smiling and bringing a package to his father. And his father worked as a switchman on a railroad at a river bridge crossing. And the boy came running over the bridge, and he was about midway toward his father, all smiles, and you see a train coming the other way. Anybody seen that film? The father had a choice to let all those people on that passenger train, which you saw going by, their faces in the windows, go into the river, or to let the train continue straight and go over his son. And he let the train go over his son. Now, it was an analogy of God the Father and God the Son and the meaning of the cross. Now, they stopped using that film because all the kids did the rest of the day was cry. And they usually had to cancel whatever events they had. It was a little too powerful. Yet somehow, God's love for us is in the sacrifice of the cross. The creed simply states that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Why the cross? The short biblical answer comes from Colossians. God was in Christ, making peace by the blood of His cross. The cross has been controversial, though, for millennia. Consider all the uproar a couple of years ago about the movie The Passion. Many pop culture reviewers called The Passion a quote, celebration of violence and death. They missed the point. They say the plot is too focused on the cross, that it offended them. Well, one reason it offends, and one reason the movie was violent, is that real history is violent. And we are making more real violent history every day. The cross reveals who we are and what we have done with God's dream of Eden. We are wife-blaming, husband-blaming, God-blaming, and brother-killing brother people. That is what the Genesis record recorded shortly after the beginning, and that is what the cross underlines in red. It is the symbol of our faith. Frederick Buechner wrote, "While a six-pointed star or a crescent moon or a lotus, the symbols of other religions suggest beauty and light. The symbol of Christianity is an instrument of shameful death." Why a symbol of death for a faith that cherishes life and the hope of life eternal? Why? The cross is not a mere decorative symbol. It is an historic reality. Jesus lived and died. And the way He died was a cross. It is an improbable symbol for an improbable faith. An educated man, a physician, once challenged me. He said, "If you explain the cross, then I will believe." Who is this God who acts in such strange ways? That's what Moses wanted to know when God sent him to free Israel. Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God answered, "Say to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you." Now the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, means I am. It means existence itself, life itself, the force which animates all there is, the one uncreated being in the universe. I am existence uncreated, says God. And so why did God, the great I am, create us? God did not need us. God wanted us. And we were created to be in love with God and in love with each other. But we used our free will to reject God and to reject each other. Life and love were God's plan for all of us. G.K. Chesterton has written in perfect British understatement the following. He says, "According to most philosophers, God in making the world enslaved it. According to Christianity in making it, He set it free. God has written not so much a poem, but rather a play. A play He had planned as perfect, but which necessarily had been left to human actors and stage managers, who have since made a great mess of it." Still, God sent prophets proclaiming that we were meant to love God and to love each other, and mostly we killed the prophets and did as we pleased. Sin and selfishness leads to alone. Alone in the dark. Without the purpose of love, we try substitutes of all sorts. We try self-medication. We try power and violence and acquisitiveness and lust and hate and hobbies. And still, we feel alone without God in our lives. God in Jesus Christ entered the emptiness of our sin, and He took it upon Himself. Jesus on the cross felt the rejection with which we reject God and each other. The fear, the powerlessness, the humiliation, the alone. And that is why He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? On the cross, He knew what each of us knows a part of. That we tire of blaming, and we feel our guilt, and we fear our death, and we sometimes cry out, God, why have You forsaken me? Alone. I have felt parts of that. And many of you have felt it, and Jesus on the cross felt all of it, all of it. The ultimate alone is death. Sin leads from one empty thing to another empty thing until we feel the full emptiness of all things, death. And the Bible says that sin does lead to death. It's the ultimate emptiness. And when you've lost a loved one, you know that. You know that feeling of finality, that disorienting gulf between what was and what will never be again of grief. God sent those prophets to warn us of the emptiness of life apart from God, and we didn't listen. They spoke to remind us that we were made for God and each other, and we killed them. And finally, God came in His Son, Jesus Christ, and we killed Him too. The cross. At first in Jerusalem, He was hailed and greeted and lauded and loved. And then the minute it became obvious that He was not going to kick out the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom, the same crowd turned on Him and said, crucify Him. Willimon once wrote, it is a stunning moment of terrible realization that the voices that scream for the crucifixion and death of Jesus, they are our voices. They are ours. Who embodied sin in the Bible? Was it Judas? Was it David before he repented? No. Listen to 2 Corinthians. Speaking of Jesus, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, who was God in flesh, Jesus, who was life itself, became sin itself for us. We attribute to Jesus Isaiah 53:5, and it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with His stripes we are healed. There are two profound clues to the cross in ancient Israel. John the Baptist spoke inspired words when he saw Jesus and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now John the Baptist was equating Jesus with the Passover Lamb. And you remember Passover. That was when the Lord delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. And there were warnings and there were plagues. But the Pharaoh would not listen. And finally, the plague of death came. And the Hebrews who were faithful smeared the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost. And it was a sign to God that His death angel was to pass over their house. It was the blood of the Lamb that was applied that saved them from death. It showed that they believed in God and His power to save. Now fast forward to the New Testament. It was a Passover meal when Jesus told His disciples, this is My body broken for you. This is My blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins.
Another high holy day, the Day of Atonement in Israel. They took a goat once a year and they put a cloth on its horns, and then the priest symbolically placed in that cloth the sins of the people of Israel, and then they led that goat out into the wilderness and they set it free, ostensibly carrying with it all the sins and all the evil of Israel. And that is where we get the word scapegoat. That's where it comes from, really. But it didn't work because they had to keep doing it year after year after year. The sins came back, just like the woman who had a demon cast out, and then seven more moved in. We could not stay clean. We cannot stay clean unless God cleans us. And what would it take to cleanse us once and for all? How about, instead of a lamb or a goat, God's Son? And instead of banishing into the wilderness, a cross. That is the magnitude of our sin and separation from God, and that is the magnitude and depth of God's love for us. In Philippians 2nd chapter, it says, Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Now all these thoughts together give new weight to the Psalm 139. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I descend to Sheol, Thou art there. God will go anywhere to offer us relationship. And that's where we came in. God in the beginning intended an intimate, compassionate relationship with us and each other. And we continually choose self and sin instead. God entered our sin and our emptiness to save us and to show us what great love God has for each of us. Now here's another clue about relationship and the cross from 1 John, 4th chapter. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love each other. Do we accept it? And do we grow in it and reflect it? Or do we reject it and die alone in the dark? How many times have you heard the story of someone trying to save a drowning person, but the drowning person keeps fighting them off? We do that with God all the time. We need saving. We need the power only God can give to fight the spiritual forces of isolation and wickedness and evil in the world, to live our lives with God and with compassion for others. And it doesn't matter who you are. And Scripture says so, whether you're slave or free or male or female, neither Jew nor Gentile, means nothing. What counts, Galatians 6, what counts is a new creation. The clearest way for me to understand what all these clues add up to is God's love and God's justice. God's judgment of sin and the despair that it causes us is there on the cross. And God's love of us in spite of the pain we cause Him and each other is there on the cross. Yes, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. You know, in the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then when Jesus was on the cross, His last words were, it is finished. In Greek, tetelestai. And it is finished. Some people have pointed out it means that the debt is paid, but more than that, more than that. In the beginning of creation, then in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was Jesus Christ, and on the cross, it is finished means that now new life is possible. A new creation is possible because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That is what it is finished means. Not just His life, yes, but more. Not just our debt is paid, but more. A new creation now is possible because His work was finished. Because of Christ, new life is possible. Let us seek the power of God's Holy Spirit to become a new creation, to become able to love as God loves, to live out the new possibilities that are ours because Christ finished what He came to do on the cross. Amen. I ask you to turn to our communion ritual number 12. We will be serving today by intinction. I encourage you to come in two lines forward to be served. Kneel if you wish for a time. Leave when you are finished praying and return to your seat. Or if you do not feel the call to kneel today, you may simply commune and go back to your pew. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us briefly pass the peace. And I'll ask my servers to join me up front. Join me at the Great Thanksgiving on page 13, please. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread, gave thanks to You, broke the bread, and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to You, gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ was broken for you, and the blood of Christ was shed for you. The body of Christ was broken for you, and the blood of Christ was shed for you. I have felt that it's been a special and worshipful time together today, and I do hope that the fact that we have gone over just a little 2 weeks in a row is okay. Sometimes football games go overtime. Sometimes worship goes overtime. I'll ask you to turn to 641, and we will close with Fill My Cup. Blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, a love that came to us in His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, a love which is present now to guide and comfort us in the Holy Spirit. Be blessed in knowing God in all the ways God has insisted on being known, and let us have faith from this life unto life eternal. In Jesus' name, Amen.